Yesterday, Sharaji explained that in order to attain Samatha Jhana, one has to observe the object of meditation. One has to closely observe the object of meditation. And when the jhanic factors, vitaka, vichara, piti, sukha, and egagata, initial application, sustained application, joy, happiness, and one-pointedness of the mind are fulfilled, the opposite mental states, which are directly opposite of these factors, these hindrances have no chance to arise. As much the jhana is strengthened, as much the jhana is powerful, the more the person will gain upper hand of these hindrances, again and again, repeatedly, over and over again. For the ones who practice the jhana for months and years, they will be suppressing these hindrances over and over again for very long. The energy of this jhana will be strengthened. By noting the object at the present moment, one is calming, suppressing the hindrances, there will be dadanga pahana, removal of the nivrana hindrances, such as kama chanda, sensual desire, momentarily. There will be momentary removal of these hindrances. When the jhana gains momentum, there will be vikampana pahana. One will be abandoning the hindrances over a long time, where the hindrances become distancing for a long time. And the momentum of the jhana become strengthened. The mind will not be agitated with kama chanda, sensual desire. The mind will not be agitated with other hindrances. There will be paviveka sukha, happiness of seclusion, upasama sukha, happiness or tranquility, again and again, repeatedly. If the hindrances are not suppressed, there will be heat with these defilements. But when these hindrances are suppressed, there will be coolness, being away from the agitation of the hindrances. When the jhana is overwhelming, fulfilling all these jhanic factors, the nivrana hindrances have no chance to arise. They are totally calm and suppressed. The analogy is given here of cryogenics. In cryogenics, the temperature is brought down to many degrees under zero, below the 0 degrees centigrade. And when items are subject to extremely low temperature, the molecular movement will be calmed. If there are molecular movements, molecular motions in substances, these molecular motions produce heat, and there will be hot temperature. But when a substance is subjected to cryogenics, extremely low temperature, there will not be molecular motion, and thus the substance is kept for a long time without being perished. So this cryogenics is compared to the jhana. having jhana, the hindrances will be cool and suppressed. The hindrances will be suppressed so that there will not be motion of these hindrances, and thus there will be coolness, being free from these motion of these hindrances. The ones who see the flaws of the sensual pleasure of human and deity, they practice samatha. Approaching Kalyanamitta, true companion, and under the guidance of Kalyanamitta, they practice samatha. And when they become accomplished, they fulfill the jhanic factors, they gain absorption. The nivrana hindrances such as kama chanda will be suppressed, and those will gain the results and the subsequent results of the jhana, and they live a very long lifespan as a Brahma. Among the Brahma, the one who lives the longest will be Mahabrahma. So one should practice having the predominance of chanda, viriya, citta, and vimansa. Having practiced the jhana with these predominance, chanda, viriya, citta, and vimansa, one will not be the middle class Brahma, but one becomes the high class Mahabrahma. And due to the momentum of the jhana absorption, the nivrana hindrances are suppressed. In the practice, one has chanda. At times, one has chanda as the predominant factor. At times, one has viriya as the predominant factor. At times, one's firm mind becomes the predominant factor. And at times, one has vimansa, knowledge or prudence as the predominant factor. In this way, one should have practice with these predominant factors. The mind should not be sluggish or cold, but one should have a firm mind, firm determination of the practice. Also, when practicing vipassana, one should practice having these predominant factors, adipati, chanda, viriya, citta, and vimansa. And having these predominant factors of chanda, viriya, citta, and vimansa, one will reach the top in the vipassana practice as well. If the person follows the path of kama kusala, the wholesome consciousness of the developing wholesome consciousness of the sense of fear. If the person has not attained the Ariya, the noblehood, these wholesome deeds give results, and one gains the results of these wholesome deeds. If the person does not see the flaws of sensual pleasure, they will take them as the blessed pleasure, and they will be sunk in these sensual pleasures. Having done these wholesome deeds, one can become a human or a deity as a result of these wholesome deeds. But if the person pursues a sensual pleasure to an extreme level that the person has misconduct or transgressions, then the result of the wholesome deeds, when the result of the wholesome deeds ends, then the person can be reborn in Niraya, the lower existences, where it is totally devoid of happiness or peace. The sensual pleasure is good, but it is dangerous and fatal. If the person does not get satisfied, if the person sees flaws in the sensual pleasure, they follow the jhana path. Practicing jhana, they suppress hindrances such as kama chanda, and one becomes free from the agitation of these hindrances by cultivating jhanic factors. And the hindrances can be suppressed for long with these development of jhanic factors. So the path of jhana opens up, and the one lives long lifespan as a Brahma. But as a Puttojana, still a worldling, not a noble one yet, after the momentum of jhana pass away, the person can be reborn in the lower realm as a human and so on. As a human, if the person gets sunk in the sensual pleasure, committing docharita, committing evil conduct, the person will still go to the lower existences. Even if one has attained Lokiya Abhijnana, Abhijnana, supernormal knowledge, but if the person has not become a Sotapanna yet, then the person has no assurance in life. There is no guarantee in life, not having become a Sotapanna. However, he or she may have attained Lokiya Abhijnana, supernormal knowledge. From one's life, one should extract gold from the trash. In order to extract gold from the trash, one should practice Satipatthana meditation, and there should be Samatha Nogahita, nurturing the practice with Samatha concentration, and one should go to the stage of Vipassana Nogahita, nurturing the practice with developing of insight, and it will be quite satisfactory. When the person attains Uddiyapaya Jnana, insight knowledge into rising and passing away of the objects, if the person continues the practice, the person is sure to attain supramundane knowledge in this very life. But at the stage of Uddiyapaya Jnana, the Dhamma taste is very good, having the factors of piti, joy, sukha, happiness, basati, tranquility, ekagata, one pointedness of the mind. When these factors are very strong, one tastes the Dhamma taste. Even though one is not attached to the sensual pleasure, but when one reaches Uddiyapaya Jnana, knowledge into fast rising and passing away of the objects, yogi might become attached to these good experiences of Uddiyapaya Jnana. The person rejoices that only now I experience this good experience. So it is very important to have Kalyanamitta, true companion, who can guide the person further into the practice. If the person does not have Kalyanamitta, true companion, then the person follows the wrong path, thinking that these good experiences are the goal of the practice. Even if one has Kalyanamitta, true companion, yogi might think highly of these good experiences, and yogi might become attached in these good experiences. As a good gardener, the gardener removes weeds, creepers, and the gardener prevents the pests from invading the tree. And if there are pests, the gardener has to remove these pests. In the same way, practicing Vipassana meditation, one has to remove these creepers, weeds that can hinder the practice from progressing. Just as the gardener has to remove the creepers and weeds, the yogi also has to remove attachment. One should not be attached in these good experiences. When the gardener removes creepers, weeds, and pests, the tree grows and gives fruit and flowers, and even fruits that are sweet. Yogis should also remove the attachment on these good experiences and continue the practice so that the person gains higher knowledges, and finally one realizes Magga-phala-jnana, path and fruition knowledge. So one should remove these attachments in the good experiences, just like the gardener has to remove the cobwebs that are entangling the tree. So one has to continue the practice until one gains Magga-phala-jnana, path and fruition knowledge. So one should practice further until the stage of attaining Magga-phala-jnana. There are three kinds of path. The Kama path, having sensual pleasure, human sensual pleasure, the Deva sensual pleasure, they are dangerous and fatal. Seeing the flaws of sensual pleasure, one practices Samatha Jhana, and one gets the existence of the Brahma stage by stage. And as a Brahma, when the Brahma come across the dispensation of the Buddha, then the Brahma can attain super mundane knowledge. If not, if the Brahma does not come across the dispensation of the Buddha, being a Brahma with comfort is wasting time without attaining supramundane knowledge. Even though the Brahma has attained absorption, but it is still low class if the Brahma is still a putujana, a worldly being, worldling, thick with defilements. So even as a Brahma, if the Brahma is still a putujana, the worldling, it can still lead to lower existences. Following the jnana path, the knowledge path, practicing vipassana jhana, noting every arising object, one can discern the true nature. Noting the object with aim and effort, one discerns the characteristics of the nama rupa. And by following this vipassana path, when seeing the arising and passing away, one develops inside knowledge. Only if one sees the characteristics of the nama rupa, one will also discern udaya vaya, udaya vaya, the arising and passing away. So in this way, one develops knowledge into nama rupa, cause and effect, characteristics of impermanent suffering and non-self. Discerning the arising and passing away, one discerns anicca lakkhana, characteristic of impermanence, dukkha lakkhana, the characteristic of suffering, and one develops vipassana jnana, insight knowledge. Practicing vipassana, the knowledge becomes mature, and one realizes the cessation by gaining magaphala jnana, path and fruition knowledge. Practicing vipassana meditation is not to be reborn as a Brahma with a long lifespan, not to become a human being again, but following the path, the jnana path, knowledge path, one is practicing in order to extinguish the endless suffering. So practicing vipassana meditation is to eradicate the endless suffering by following this vipassana path. One should be mindful at the moment the object arises, and one is sure to know the true nature. By being mindful at the moment of seeing, hearing, and so on, one comes to discern the nature of rupa, materiality, and nama, mentality. If one does not know correctly, there will be not knowing, and there will be wrong view. Not discerning the nama rupa, one has the wrong view of jiva atta, individual soul. At the moment of hearing, one should note as hearing, hearing. By noting hearing, at times one discerns the hearing consciousness. At times one discerns the ear base, the ear sensitivity where the hearing takes place. At the moment of hearing, by noting hearing, one discerns either the rupa materiality or the nama mentality. And one discerns the nama rupa that really exists. If the person does not discern the nama rupa, then the person thinks that it is the jiva atta, it is the individual soul that is hearing. One should be mindful at the moment of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, bending, stretching, so that one discerns the nama rupa. And by discerning the nama rupa, one removes the wrong view of jiva atta, individual soul. By noting at the moment the object arises, such as hearing, one discerns. In the hearing, there is the receptor element, the striker element, and the ignition element. The receptor element is the ear sensitivity. And when one discerns the ear sensitivity, one will know that hearing is taking place in the ear sensitivity. At times, one discerns the sound that has been heard, that it one knows it as being heard, which is the sound. The sound is the striker element. When the sound strikes the ear sensitivity, hearing consciousness, hearing contact, and hearing feeling takes place. By noting at the moment of hearing, one discerns either of these nama rupa. At times one discerns the rupa, materiality. At times one discerns the nama, mentality. Discerning the nama rupa, one understands that there is no person or being or soul. What really arises is the receptor element, which is the ear sensitivity, the striker element, which is the sound, and the ignition element, which is the hearing consciousness, hearing contact, and hearing feeling. So these things are not jiva atta. They are not individual soul. There is no jiva atta, individual soul, involved in the hearing. What really exists are the receptor element, striker element, and the ignition element. There is no jiva atta, individual soul, that is involved in the hearing. By noting at the moment the object arises, one is sure to discern the true nature. In the hearing, because there is the sound to be heard, hearing takes place. And because there are the ears to hear, hearing takes place. Even though there are sounds, but if the person is deaf, there will not be hearing. Because of the receptor, the ear sensitivity, and the striker, the sound, the hearing takes place. The ear sensitivity and the sound are the cause. Hearing consciousness is the effect. So they are arising as cause and effect. These nama rupa are arising as cause and effect. When noting rising of the abdomen, the noting mind that notes the rising takes place. When rising disappears, the noting mind that knows the rising will not arise. So in this way, because there is the object, the noting mind that knows the object arises. So the object is the cause. The noting mind that knows it is the effect. When sitting, because there is the intention to sit, sitting takes place. Because there is intention to stand, standing takes place. Because there is intention to bend, bending takes place. If there is no intention to sit, sitting will not take place. If there is no intention to stand, standing will not take place. If there is no intention to bend, bending will not take place. So here in this case, the intention is the cause, sitting is the effect. The intention to stand is the cause, standing is the effect. The intention to bend is the cause, the actual bending is the effect. And by noting at the moment of sitting, one can discern the cause and effect. And also, when the body is subject to cold temperature, there will be the cold materiality taking place in the body. Because of Udu, the temperature, the cold temperature, the cold materiality takes place in the body. And also, when one is hungry, then there will be heat. The person become weak. There will be heat in the body being hungry. So when the person eats, getting the nutrition, one becomes fresh and strong again. So these are also arising as cause and effect. Discerning cause and effect, discerning that relevant cause gives rise to relevant effect, one clearly understands that there is no creator. It is not the Mahabrahma that is creating. What is really arising is the cause and effect. The intention to sit leads to the actual sitting. So it is not the creator that is creating the sitting. So one is following the jnana path, the knowledge path, by practicing Siddhipatthana meditation. So there are three paths. The path of knowledge, which is the practice of Siddhipatthana, the Kamma path, and the Jhana path. Practicing Siddhipatthana meditation is the Jnana path, the knowledge path. And one should be mindful in order to discern. By noting diligently, by practicing respectfully, meticulously, one is sure to discern mind and matter, cause and effect, even within a few days by practice of Satipatthana meditation. But the practice of jhana will not lead to knowledge into the nama rupa or cause and effect. By practicing Satipatthana meditation, one discerns nama rupa, cause and effect, and one will be removing doubt and uncertainty, and one will also remove the wrong view that Mahabrahma is creating. And as the person continues the practice, one discerns that the nama rupa that are arising as cause and effect arise and pass away. There is seeing, seeing arises, passes away, hearing arises, passes away, whatever that arises, passes away. They are impermanent. Seeing the impermanence, one removes the wrong view of permanence. Seeing impermanence, removing the wrong view of permanence, one also removes mana, conceit. Knowing suffering, one removes the wrong view that things are good. If one takes things as good, then one will think of them as good and pleasant. They will be wanting to see good things, wanting to hear good sound, and in this way, there will be tathna, craving. As one clearly discerns that things are suffering, no good, then one will no longer think of them as good. There will not be craving. So in this way, seeing it as suffering, no good, then one removes tathna, craving. Discerning impermanence and suffering, craving will be removed. So in order to see the impermanence, one has to practice. Nobody can do it, but the person has to practice in order to see the impermanence. And also the weather, heat, cold, nobody is creating the heat, cold. they are arising in their own accord. There is anatta lakkhana, the characteristic of non-self. So one should also practice in order to discern the characteristics of non-self. Practicing vipassana, one is following the jnana path. So when one develops vipassana jnana, inside knowledge, one also develops vipassana jhana. There are two kinds of jhana, samatha jhana and vipassana jhana. So in the text, they are mentioned as aramanupanijhana. Samatha jhana is called as aramanupanijhana, meaning that one observes on the single object of meditation, having concept panyati as the object of meditation. It is samatha jhana, in other words, aramanupanijhana. Vipassana jhana is called lakkhanupanijhana. One has to be mindful of the nama rupa that really exists, that is arising at the present moment. Observing the nama rupa that really exist, that are arising at the present moment, one discerns sabhava lakkhana, unique individual characteristics, and samanya lakkhana, common characteristics. So the difference between the two, when practicing samatha jhana, one observes the single object of meditation. So in the practice of samatha jhana, one does not have to note other objects such as the mind or anything, but one has to practice observing on the single object of meditation, panyati concept as the object of meditation. So one focuses one's mind on the single object, the concept, as the meditation object. And it is called samatha jhana. In other words, it is also called lokiya jhana. In the practice of vipassana jhana, one has to observe the nama rupa at the moment these objects arise. And by practicing vipassana jhana, one discerns the sabhava lakkhana, unique individual characteristics, samanya lakkhana, common characteristics. So in the vipassana jhana, one has to note these nama rupa at the moment they arise. In the practice of vipassana jhana, usually the yogis nowadays discern mostly anicca lakkhana, characteristic of impermanence. When one discerns anicca lakkhana, characteristic of impermanence, one also is said to discern the other two characteristics, the characteristic of dukkha, suffering, and the characteristic of anatta, non-self. Tisu lakkhanesu ekasmin dithe itaresu ditha meva hoti. Meaning that among the three characteristics, if one discerns the one of these three characteristics, one also discerns the other two. Just like when a person has three names, by knowing the person by one name, it is said that one knows the person who also has the other two names. By noting the object when discerning the arising and passing away, one discerns anicca, impermanence. Discerning anicca, impermanence, one also discerns dukkha, suffering. And discerning dukkha, suffering, one also discerns anatta, non-self. Discerning that the nama rupa that are arising as cause and effect, as they are impermanent suffering and non-self, discerning impermanent suffering and non-self, it is vipassana jnana, insight knowledge. In the word vipassana, vi means in various ways of impermanent suffering and non-self, and passana means knowing. So vipassana means knowing the different modes of impermanent suffering and non-self of these nama rupa that are arising as cause and effect. So only if one sees the arising and then passing away, one develops vipassana jnana. The first two jnana, nama rupa pricchita jnana, knowledge into the mind and matter, paccaya prigaha jnana, knowledge into cause and effect, is taken as vipassana jnana, but these two are not the jnana that discerns the arising and passing away. But in order to develop vipassana jnana, the first two knowledges are the foundation, and by developing these two knowledges, one can develop vipassana jnana. Because the two knowledges, nama rupa pricchita and paccaya prigaha jnana, are the foundation to develop vipassana, they are also taken as vipassana knowledge. So practicing vipassana, one can totally be free from suffering. And tomorrow Saraji will explain niyana, freeing oneself from the suffering. But if the person is not practicing, or if the person practices in stop and go manner, taking rest in between, not practicing diligently, continuously, there will be niyana varana. There will be hindrance preventing one from freeing. And Saraji will continue tomorrow. Sa-a-du, sa-a-du.